It's good to be with you, and I don't know what you normally do on Wednesday nights, if it's more of a Bible study or a message, but we're going to be in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and it's a pretty full passage, but I'm giving up on saying these are my favorite passages, because I do that so many different times that I've just decided I'm not going to say that anymore. I'll go to Romans, I say these are some of my favorite verses, and go to the Gospel of John. These are some of my favorite verses, but this is very rich here in the first chapter of John. We're going to begin with verse 4 and read through verse 13, the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And we're going to talk about life and light in Jesus Christ. Life and light in Jesus Christ. Beginning with verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, as I said, that's a loaded passage, and we're going to try to focus in. There's many different things we could pull from this passage, but our focus tonight is going to be on life and light in Jesus Christ. Now, going back to the beginning of the chapter, John began his gospel here by saying that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was with God, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and light was the light of men. So we're starting there in verse 4, but we need to kind of understand. John has already said, he's already talked about that Jesus Christ is eternal. That when he says in the beginning here, he means not just the beginning of the gospel, not just the beginning of even time itself, not just at creation. You can go even back before that. Go back as far as you want to go back. Jesus Christ was there. He was there in the beginning. He was there with God. He is God. He talks about his deity. So he makes that claim right off the beginning. Then in verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So what kind of life is it that John has under consideration here? Now, is it true that physical life came from Jesus Christ? That is true. Jesus Christ created all things. We hear that in our text. We kind of skip down there in the kind of the middle of our text for tonight, and it says that he created all things. There is not anything made that was made without him. He created all things. So even physical life comes from Christ. But I think John here has much more than that under consideration when he says in verse 4 that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That second phrase tells us there's more to this than just physical life that John is talking about here. If we go to John chapter 5, we're going to turn over in the same gospel. John chapter 5, in verse 26. He says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So even physical life, he has life. He gives life. He has life in himself. He made all things. So he that is part of the equation. But then listen to John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's a different kind of life that he's talking about there. When we talk about hearing the voice of the Son of God and passing from death unto life, There's a different kind of life that we're talking about. It's a spiritual life. It is a spiritual creation that takes place. Just like Jesus created the creation itself and gave life, there's also a spiritual life that's under consideration when we hear a passage like that. So back in our text, when John says he was in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. That gives us a clue in those two verses that there's something more under consideration here than just physical life. It's eternal life. We call it eternal life. We call it spiritual life. It goes by some different things. We call it different things. But that life, that spiritual life, we find out is in Jesus. John 5, 28 through 29 tells us as well about that there's going to be a time when the voice of the Son of God is going to raise all. Did you know that the Bible teaches that? All of the dead are going to come forth. It says some are going to come forth unto the resurrection of life. Some are going to come forth unto the resurrection of damnation. But all, when he says the word, all are going to come out of the graves. So physical life is in him, but also spiritual life is in him. And he's going to go into more detail on that as we go forward. So when we say that this life is in Christ, that kind of clues us in to a very important topic. That union with Christ is essential for us. If we want to have spiritual life, we must have union with Christ. We must be, if that life is in him, then we have to be in him to have that life. And he has to be in us. And we're going to go into much more detail about that as we go on. But when we hear things like in John 10, where he says, I came that they may have life, have it more abundantly. And when we hear, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When we hear those things, we know that he's talking about this spiritual life, eternal life, that life that saves us from judgment, that saves us from that resurrection of damnation, that saves us to a resurrection of life. So you have life forever if you are in Jesus Christ, in that spiritual sense. So then we're going to look, it gives us a little clue here that this is not something that is general. The light shineth in darkness, verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. So this light, in him was life, and life was the light of men. This light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Because this light is not seen with physical eyes. So there's a difference between this. It's kind of the difference in darkness and blindness. There is a blindness on humanity that we don't have the capability to see the light. So there are people walking around in this world who are dead. And the thing about it is, they don't understand that they're dead. They don't know that they're dead. They're walking around, they see, they hear, they participate in life. If you go to the store, you'll see people walking around, they look alive. But spiritually, they're dead. They are blind, and they are in darkness. So Christ, the light, entered into the darkness. That's just an amazing thought in and of itself. The phrase that Christ entered into creation. Well, what was he entering? He was entering into darkness because all of mankind had fallen into darkness. So he's entering into darkness. It says that he came, this light came into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there's not a comprehension there. Now that word comprehended is translated differently in a lot of different translations. But I think the King James got it right on this one. Some say grasp, some say other things. I think the word comprehended is the right word here. They can't understand it. They don't have the capability to really see it, to understand it in any way. So I think that is the correct term there when it says that the darkness comprehended it not. That Matthew 13:13, where Jesus said there's people that are seeing but they don't see. That's what we have under consideration here when we talk about those who are in darkness. Those who are, when Jesus told these parables, they didn't understand. When he talked about things, we go to the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Christ in the middle of the night, right? And he comes to Jesus and he says, "We know who you are." See, isn't that interesting how he approached Christ? He said, "We know who you are. We know that you're a teacher come from God because you couldn't do the things you do." So he thought that he knew. But did Christ answer his question directly? He didn't. He said, "Actually, you don't even know what you don't know." He said, "You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And without that, you won't see it." So you think you know what you know, but you really don't. So darkness is something that in the darkness we can't see. But the worst, to really get a grasp of our condition, it's much worse than just darkness. Even when the light comes into the darkness, you must have the capability to see it. So if light comes into the darkness and you're blind and don't have the ability to see, that light is not going to be of any effect to you. So not only is the world in darkness, but the world is also blinded because we are dead in trespasses and sin. People that don't understand that, God has not done a work on them. They don't, and that's like I said, they don't even understand that they are dead. They don't see Jesus as the song that we sang. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's precious to you. Oh, how sweet, right, is what we sang. Precious name, oh, how sweet. To those of us who are believers in Christ, we are believers because what he's done, and we're going to get to that eventually, but he's precious to us. We see him in a different way. We see him as who he is. We have been, our eyes have been opened, and we're able to see that light. So we must have new life to be able to see the light. The spiritually dead cannot see that. So life will make seeing possible. John says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." New life brings light. And that new life must come before the light. So when death is replaced with life, darkness then can be replaced with light. And we're gonna unpack that a little bit more later on. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself there. But it says the darkness did not grasp or did not comprehend the light. Until we have the life and the light of Christ, we have not passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Being dead and blind means that we are incapable of believing, having saving faith. Now, there's a different kind of faith. There's a historical faith. You can believe that things are true. But saving faith is something that you cannot, that cannot be apart from the grace of God. That's a gift that we receive. We get spiritual ability in regeneration. So when we say that the darkness did not comprehend the light, it's because they were incapable. All of those in darkness are incapable of seeing that light. So Jesus comes into the darkness of the world. It's so easy now to preach that verse. Is there any darkness in the world today? Is there any clear battles that are going on between that which is evil and that which is good? I'm sure, and I've heard this before, that every generation thinks that. You know, that, well, it's just worse than it's ever been. And I don't know if that's true or not. I can only speak for my time. It seems to be that we are living in a very dark world, a dark age even, of this world. And so darkness is rampant. It's evident. And Christ was the light that came into that darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have this then set up. You have darkness, and you have the light that enters the darkness, and yet in that darkness, not only is it dark, but we're also blind. So what is the remedy for that? Let's go back to our text. We're going to skip a little bit there where it talks about John. He comes back to that later in the same chapter, but we're going to go down to verses 10 and 11. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So verse 10 and 11 show us where the focus really is when Jesus comes into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And yet, when he comes into the world, it says not only did the world, not only did the darkness not comprehend, but the world itself, it was made by him, knew him not. He came into his own. His own received him not. The Jewish people rejected him. He came into the world. The world did not know him. Came to his own people. His own people received him not. So as Jesus comes into the darkness, it says that the world didn't know him. The Jews rejected him. So how then is it that this light can be seen? How is it that we can go, we can pass from darkness to light? How is it then that we can pass from death unto life? Both of those things are necessary for us to have union with Christ. Because the way we have union with Christ is through faith. And faith can only happen where there is spiritual life. So we must have life, and then we must have light. So how does that take place? Well, that the answer that we get to that is in verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Probably one of the most misused verses in the entire Bible. Because people read that in isolation, away from the rest of the text. They don't go on to the next verse and understand what verse 13 talks about. But let's start with verse 12. All who receive him, who believe on him, those words, I will tell you I believe that. I believe in John chapter 3, where it says that whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ shall be saved, shall have everlasting life. I believe that. I just believe that it's not left up to us as our free will choice, because we are in darkness and we have no light. Well, we are lost. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. So that all Scripture must agree with Scripture. So when we read this, the importance of faith should never be diminished. We should never take away from that. Just because we're scared of that and scared of those terms and scared to say that faith is a necessity. But verse 13 is extremely important. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, it's the same thing he told Nicodemus. You must be born again. For that light to have effect, you must be born again. There must be light and life for us to believe in Jesus Christ and have saving faith. So what that entails then is the new birth. We are born again. The theological term for that would be regeneration. In regeneration, we are given spiritual life. Now, this is a hard concept, and a lot of people say this is splitting hairs between regeneration and conversion. And it is, I guess, to some extent. But it's important. It's an important distinction. And it's a distinction that the Primitive Baptists have been right about for a very long time. And it's something that was a distinctive of our people. More and more people are starting to see that truth. And they're really excited about it. And you know what? Even though we've always believed that, we still ought to be excited about it. That we believe in immediate regeneration. We believe that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. Where there is death and darkness, the Holy Spirit comes in and he gives spiritual life. That must come first. Regeneration must precede faith. There's most of the people, I started to give a number, I'm not going to say that. The majority of Christians in this country, the majority of Baptists, the majority of just evangelical Christians in America, they get that backwards. They say that faith comes first and then you receive spiritual life. That's exactly backwards to what the Bible teaches. And that's been a distinctive of our people for a long, long time. It's something that we need to understand. So in some senses, while I can see that might be splitting hairs, it's not. Regeneration is an important concept for us to understand, even independently of conversion. So when we say regeneration, we're talking about a sovereign act of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is of God. So this is a creative act of God through the Holy Spirit in which He imparts spiritual life, spiritual ability would be another way to say that, spiritual ability to His people, His chosen people. And so then they have spiritual life. They have spiritual ability. So then that must come first. And then after that, we said, what are the two things that we're talking about from this text? Life and light. So regeneration is spiritual life. You must have spiritual life. You must have spiritual ability. Then secondly, after that, comes the light. That would be conversion. The work of the Spirit with the use of means in which He calls the elect to saving faith in Jesus Christ and repentance from sin. So then we see that in that work, we become active in that process. We become conscious of that in our lives. We see Christ. We exhibit faith in Him. We repent of our sins. We turn from those things and begin to walk in newness of life, that life that He gave us in regeneration. So still work of the Spirit is still an act of God on us, but it is with the use of means, and that is when we are become aware of that spiritual life that He has placed in us in regeneration. So, and I've shared this many times before, it's just a real quick example. If you, to understand regeneration and conversion, if you had a completely dark room, you had a blind man sitting in that room, and you came in and you showed him just an image and said, This is something of extreme value. That's not going to do him any good, right? Can't see it because two reasons. Number one, he's blind. Number two, it's dark. If you go in, you turn the lights on, have you really done anything? If you present that over and over and over again, is there going to be any response? No, the man is still blind. If you heal the man of his blindness and then you turn the lights on, now you're getting somewhere. Now you can see. So in regeneration, we get spiritual life. We're given the ability to be able to see. And then when that light is shined, then it becomes precious to us. We see the value of it. We see the worth in it. We see Jesus Christ for who He really is, that He is the light of the world. He is the only hope for bankrupt sinners. 2 Timothy 1:10 through 11, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. So spiritual ability then is given in regeneration, and then through the word of God, we are converted to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The whole Gospel of John is focused on that Jesus Christ is God, that he is divine. And he goes about through telling directly, as he does in this chapter, through his interactions in his own ministry, through the witness of John the Baptist, through others, that he is God, that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He is the deliverer. All of those things, that's the point of the gospel. So what does that mean for us today? I'm going to wrap up very quickly. It's about 7:30. So I don't know if y'all normally go an hour and a half or an hour. We go an hour on Wednesday night. So I told Brother Isaac, I said, I'm going to try to keep it to 30 minutes. I don't know what y'all's normal is, but I'll apologize to him later if he normally goes an hour and I get out in 30 minutes. And this is a lot in a short period of time. So what does that mean for us on a daily basis? Many of you here may be born again. You say, okay, I am born again. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, what does this text mean to me? Well, this light came into the world. What did it say about John the Baptist? John the Baptist, go back to verse 6. John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So if you're a believer, you're to be a witness to that light. You're to be a reflection of that light. In your daily life, people should be able to see and tell there's light. There's a difference. There's a difference from the darkness. If light and darkness are in the same place, there's a strong difference between those two things. If you go in a room, turn all the lights out in complete darkness, and then you turn on a light, it's going to have a pretty bright effect. It's going to have an effect on that which is around it. So we're to bear witness to the light. I love this quote. It's a great book, by the way, in general. It's by W.E. Best. It's called Regeneration and Conversion. This quote is in one of the first chapters in that book. He says, "The mission of the church is not to regenerate people, but she is to preach the gospel whereby those whose hearts have already been prepared in regeneration are made ready to embrace Christ in conversion. The gospel is good news to those whom the Holy Spirit has regenerated. Paul said it's foolishness to everyone else." You see the implication there? People have accused some who believe in evangelism of going to try to make sheep. Well, we can't make sheep. We can't regenerate people. It's not the mission of the church. It's not something that we do. But we can share the gospel. And those whom God regenerates and gives spiritual ability, it will be light. It will be a bright light to them, and they will see it. That's when it says the gospel is good news to those whom the Holy Spirit has regenerated. So we're to bear witness to the light. We're to be witnesses of that light that has come into the world, and to share it with others. So many times we feel like we have to have these, just big opportunities. Like just it has to be set up on a tee. That's not necessarily true. I think something that I want to work on in my own personal life, finding more opportunities. They're there. We miss them. But we need to be witnesses to the light. We need to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Bear witness to that light that has come into the world. So Christ is life. Christ is light. And our union to him, through that, we have eternal life. And there is no other way that you can have eternal life outside of that. I believe that. Only in life and light in Jesus Christ can we have that eternal life that he talks about in so many places that we've looked at here in John 1, John 10, we looked in John 5, many other places where he talks about that. I hope those things have been a blessing to you tonight.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.